Extra, extra, read all about it. The Word of God, the Bible, the only book in this world more published than any other book, more volumes than any other. Amen?
Amen.
The news of the day. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen?
Amen.
What I just did, brothers and sisters, was what a herald does. And if you have ever been in a big city, they have newspaper stands like New York, Boston. I mean, I've been there and I've heard them. These guys, they go out on the street and they're trying to sell their newspapers, and they're just walking around just like, you know, news of the day, news of the day, get the paper, extra news, you know, and they're just really on fire. They're proclaiming the news for the day. Of course, they're trying to sell newspapers. I think we should have a Bible stand out front here selling Bibles. We should proclaim it. We really should. Amen? But this leads me to share with you that the topic for our sermon this morning will be the absolute need for a messenger. And we will be in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. That will serve as our sermon text. Paul writes, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" But let us read verses 14 and 15 for a better understanding of what Paul is saying. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Paul is asking here, how shall they hear without a preacher? This doesn't mean that we must enter public ministry to preach the gospel. Preacher means one who heralds, proclaims, or publishes. Clearly, every believer is assigned a personal pulpit in the home, the community, at the office, or in school, from which to show and tell others the good news of the gospel. I used to get together with an old friend of mine, and we used to have these wonderful prayer times together, and he used to say to me, as a young Christian, he'd say, "Eric, your pulpit is in your home. You're a priest in your home." Very important. We have all been assigned a pulpit, brothers and sisters. But in Romans 1:14, Paul declares, "I am a debtor." But let's read that. He writes, "I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise." So he's saying, "I'm a debtor." And pointedly noting his sense of obligation. Why? And he answers in Ephesians 2. But before we go over how Paul answers this, let us look at who Paul was. Let's just take a few minutes here and look at who Paul was. Saul was Paul's given name. But as we go through this, I'm just going to use Paul. We'll be going back and forth, Saul, Paul. So we'll just say Paul. He was born into a Jewish family in Tarsus around the year AD 8. He was also a Roman citizen, which really played a large role later in his life. He was schooled as a Pharisee. He was a tent maker by trade, but was most noted for his hatred of Christians. He believed teachings of Jesus violated Mosaic law and zealously harassed them, as I know some of you have read his time, he was horrible. Horrible. He harassed. He had people jailed. I mean, anybody who followed the teachings of Christ, he was going after. Paul, he was aggressive. He was an aggressive persecutor of Christians, and he witnessed many a death, including the stoning of Stephen. Paul sought and received permission from the high priests to proceed to Damascus for the purpose of imprisoning more followers of Christ. But our great God is awesome. Our Lord Jesus had a different plan. He intervened here. Our great God is just wonderful. But so on the road to Damascus, our great Lord Jesus Christ intervenes. And in Acts 9:3, we read, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" But let me stop for a minute. I just wanted to explain something there. It was really interesting that what that means is his conscience, his mind was being pricked about the terrible things that he had been doing. That's what that means. I mean, a goad is a stick that you use to tap like cows or bulls. If you want them to move, you smack them with that goad. But here, he's saying that his mind was being, for the terrible things that he was doing. "So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" So with everything that has just happened, Paul responds, and he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't wait a minute, no. He allows himself to be led into Damascus, where he was baptized. But I just want to stop here for a minute, because also here, Ananias baptizes Paul. But he has an issue with this. He really does. He basically says to the Lord, "I mean, this man was harming saints in Jerusalem. Chief priests have just authorized him to go on to Damascus to persecute more and murder more." But God says in Acts 9:15, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." So Paul became God's chosen instrument to spread the message of Jesus. So here, what we want to get out of this is that we must obey. We need to worry less about who and think more about do. Like Ananias, we must be a messenger to obey God. So as it says here, you know, he went on to preach the good news of Jesus Christ after he became baptized. Paul's sudden change confused those around him because he was known as one who hated Christians. And suddenly he was transformed from despising the followers of Christ into fervently espousing the gospel of that same Jesus Christ. No one could have anticipated this conversion. Only our God knows. You know, this goes down as one of the great miracles. It really does, of our God. He's just wonderful and great. We can do this and intervene on behalf of a person's life and change them and transform them. So now that we just look at Paul, rough draft there of him, let us get back to how Paul answers in Ephesians 2 about being a debtor and his sense of obligation and why. He starts off in Ephesians 2:1. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." So what he's saying here is man is dead, needing life. Ephesians 2:12. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Man is walking a course of destruction, needing deliverance. Can we not see that today? Every aspect, everywhere in the world, it's sad. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Man is hopeless, needing God. Amen. Man is separated from God, needing Christ. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Again, man is separated from God, needing Christ. I was with a brother the other day who runs a small business. Oh, the people that he's getting in, he's trying to help them and witness to them. It's sad. Their lives are a mess. They need Christ. It's sad. But here Jesus concludes the evidence of man's need. He is lost, needing to be found. He says this in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The answer is here, my brothers and sisters. The answer is here. Someone must be sent to preach so that people hear and believe. There's no other way. So I don't want you to lose the focus of what we're starting off as, the need for a messenger. You are the messengers. You are. But I think that we must be committed. Committed action to our generation now. And I just love this, these verses in Proverbs. Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Brothers and sisters, that made me sweat when I read that. Really, I'm not joking. It makes you just, wow. There are just two groups of people in the world, brothers and sisters. Those who have heard the gospel and those who have not. If those who have heard and believed, and you refuse to tell those who have not heard, God will render to each according to his deeds. Is that not sobering? I'm telling you, it makes you really, wow. Generated in me that fortitude to get out there and start really working hard and sharing the message with those, with people. In a message that Brian Violette, our beloved brother and teacher, gave, and I quote, "The biggest neglect Christians make is not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, we are responsible to our generation. You know, while people often debate, and I mean, I've had this problem. It's not good. You know, while people often debate over those who have died without hearing the gospel, this passage reveals the soul-stirring importance of seeking those who are alive and have not heard. Today is the day, brothers and sisters, to share the gospel. But let's just look at a practical guideline from Acts 13:36. It's very simple. That can teach us. It's about King David. David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he served his own generation. He started there with his own generation. Now, we can't go back to the last generation, nor can we reach the next generation, but we can serve this one today, now. Hopefully that will carry on to the next generation. The only generation God expects us to be vitally concerned about is our own. We have been commissioned under the King's call. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Christ is King, brothers and sisters. He's the finest example of a messenger. It is unsurprising that Jesus' final commission to his disciples reflects his global perspective. Jesus, you know, he taught kingdom life and principles. And Jesus led his followers to think, live, and pray that his kingdom come to our entire planet. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As his disciples began to minister, he told them to preach everywhere. Jesus gave the command to go to all nations, directed that their teaching and preaching seek to bring all nations into his kingdom. Now we are also commissioned to go with Christ's compassion. You know, our God is great. Jesus, his humanity and divinity and balance, Jesus' beauty and uniqueness of his character, both divine and human, is revealed as this divine one bringing sinful man to a holy God. In his perfect holiness of life, Jesus reflects compassion for sin-stained and suffering mankind, broken-hearted, sick, mistreated, and bereaved. Our fulfillment of the Great Commission requires such a worldwide scope in ministering compassion and human concern. Jesus' style was sensitive and touchable. It's a summons to us to speedily answer his command and to answer with his compassion. No geographic boundary, no sin barrier, no ethnic, political, or economic partisan interest is ever to restrict our reach or penetration with the gospel. As we close out this message, brothers and sisters, as we look back on Paul's conversion, we see a man's life was transformed, saved by our great and mighty Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus intercepted Paul on the road to Damascus. Stop him. Grace and mercy was shown to him. The greatest messenger ever, Jesus Christ. But from there, Paul went on to be a messenger, to preach, teach, plant churches throughout all the regions. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians states, of having hope to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, reveal he was never content to keep the message within the Christian community. I read a quote by John Wesley, you know, the world is my parish. The world is what we're to be looking at, our community and the world, not just a small little group of people in our Christian community. No. This text models the church's mandate to reach beyond you. Christ's orders are clear in Matthew 28:19. Make disciples of all nations. And he goes on to say, preach the gospel to every creature and go as the Father has sent me. Brothers and sisters, this is a command. We've received a summons. We have. We've received a summons from the Lord Jesus Christ to go and preach the gospel. I want you to take a minute and think back to the messenger that was sent to you. This made me think back of a young man. That basically stopped me on my road to Damascus. Brothers and sisters, now it is your turn to be a messenger to a lost and dying world. Amen.
amen. It's your duty and your responsibility. And it's good. It's an honor and a privilege. Don't worry about how many people you worry about to do. Do it. Let God, He's going to illuminate their hearts. We can't do that. God does that. We have to let Him do the work. But we have to be the ones who are going to go out to this field. The harvest is ripe, but there are a few pickers. There really are. And it's a great privilege and honor to do that. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word as a lamp unto our feet. Where would we be without your Son, Jesus Christ? Where would we be with your great plan of salvation, Lord? Let us think, too, of the messengers that were sent to us from you that stopped us all and intervened and transformed our lives. Your word, your grace and mercy. Where would we be? And we thank you, Lord, that you've chosen us, Lord God. But in turn, Lord, it's now our turn to be the messengers, to share the gospel with a lost world that needs it so bad. Bring into our hearts the compassion of Christ, the love that we need that to share with these people, Lord God. And Lord, we just look to this example of Paul that you gave to us, and may we have the fervency, fortitude, courage, and bravery to go forth. And we know that you are with us every step of the way. We have confidence in that because you're our God. We love you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We will now show each other the sign of peace, followed by a communion devotional.